Well, we've got open lines for you this hour. I just think you need to sound off, and that's what we are going to do here on Coast to Coast AM. And also during the rest of the week, we've got a great program in store for you tomorrow with Alex Jones joining us, talking about all his work and what's going on in GMO foods. And we'll get his talk on just about everything. And, of course, you're part of it. Mark Stavish joins us on our Wednesday program. We'll be talking about his views on the New Age movement and Freemasonry and rituals. Thursday, the psychic children. We're going to have Hugh Newman join us on Coast to Coast. And we're back to Friday, where it gets a little spookier and stranger with open lines. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And it's being reported also that police are searching in a Boston suburb in an apartment with a possibility of trying to connect that with these blasts. So that's interesting. We'll see what happens there. You never know. All right, let's go back to the calls. We've got the open lines for you this hour. We've got Frankie in Centralia, Illinois. Welcome to the show. Hey, Frankie, it's your turn. How are you?
Fine. I'm in Missouri.
Are you in the Missouri part? Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I basically just wanted to talk about Sandy Hook, what a gentleman had called in earlier, and I'd seen the same show on MSNBC, and basically what you had corrected the one gentleman and said that they were talking about, you know, that it was just, it was more than it's just making them special and putting them up in a seat. They were actually representing the children. They're right. Afraid of the children being forgotten.
Right, exactly.
And I think
it was a tribute to them.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word I needed. And then the other thing that you had talked about is what makes people so angry. I truly believe it's a lot of what another person said earlier was a lot of stuff we hear on the radios and probably TV too, where they're calling people names, awful names. And
it's a tension. And you know, in Centralia, you're pretty rural out there. Do you feel it? Are they pretty uptight?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm not on Facebook. I don't want to get on it. I'm 62. I'm your age, and but I have a sister that's on it, and she told me today what was going on Facebook, and I say that's awful. That's the hate, and saying things like Obama is the Antichrist, and basically he's the fault for this. I mean, it's sad. It's like your guest earlier was saying, we need more compassion in this world. We need more understanding. We don't know everything going on in government. We never will. There's a lot we should not know, probably. That is, you know, we don't have to know everything. Just be there to protect us and do your job, you know?
Well, that's what the federal government was supposed to do, but they ended up meddling in everything.
They sure did, and not for our benefits. It's not. And people are angry about that, and I understand that. But they're taking it out.
Frankie, they're taking it out on other people, though.
Yeah, they are.
That's the issue.
And that's what's sad. And that's what today, when she was telling me was on Facebook. I don't want to be mean, but some of this stuff is just little tidbits that they're picking up, not from journalists, because you were talking about this earlier, not from journalists who has to follow rules, but from commentators that can say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really scary.
Yeah.
And you know, but I don't want to take up a whole lot of your time, but I this is something that really bothers me. I have a lot of compassion. I care for people, and I see us going down the wrong track. I think it's lack of respect, listening to too many faulty things from people that, like, again, are commentators, and it's their viewpoints, not what is the facts of what's happening.
Well, people need to start taking little chill pills, don't they?
Yeah. That's funny. My grandson said the same thing. He said, we're going to call center. And he told me, he says, when they're unhappy, tell them to take a happy pill.
You
He's like 10.
All right. Thanks, Frankie.
Thank you.
Lemon drops. I love lemon drops. I always have since I was a kid. Let's go to Vancouver, Washington. Robin's turn on Coast to Coast. Robin, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, George. Thanks for answering.
Sure.
Just want to thank you for your continued coverage and support of our troops in Afghanistan Iraq. And I have a personal interest in that as well. I have a daughter in Afghanistan.
Oh, do you? How long has she been up there?
since November, and she's had some very close calls.
Yeah, I know. It's a scary situation.
And it's just,
how long's your tour of duty there?
Until August.
Let's keep saying a prayer, get her home, huh?
Oh, yes. And of all things, she placed a note on Facebook today that says she's worried about us over here in the U.S. with what happened in Boston today. And, you know, it's ironic.
That's funny how we worried about them when they were little, and now they all worried about us.
Yeah. But this incident in Boston is pretty close to home. A best friend of my sister's daughter had just finished the race, and it happened right behind her.
Oh, gosh.
And her boyfriend or something had just passed across the front of the area where the first explosion went off. It's just...
Too small a world, isn't it?
It's just something else. And it's just whoever this person... I feel like it's a person that's probably...
Yeah, I do too. I think it's an individual.
Angry
of something, whatever it is.
You know, the wrong reason, you know?
Yeah, if you hate government, protest, but don't kill people. You know, don't try to maim innocent. A little 8-year-old boy killed, his whole life, his whole future gone, snuffed out in an instant.
I can't imagine.
How'd you like to be the parents?
Oh, God.
Yeah? Oh, how sad can that
be? I work in healthcare, so I do, my part.
That's my biggest fear. You know what? My biggest fear is something happening to my children and now my grandchildren.
I got a grandchild on the way, too.
Yeah, before me. You know what? I don't care what happens to me, but I don't want anything to happen to them. And carry through. You know, you have all these lives that you worry about as a parent. And it is, people don't understand that. You know, when you have a kid, I mean, you worry about them for the rest of your life.
Yep, they're everything to me.
Constantly. I mean, there may be days... I've got three. I don't talk to everyone every day. You know, we're doing our thing and stuff. But, you know, after a couple days go by, I go, okay, it's time to talk to Wendy or Christy or Jonathan and do what I do. But every day, I'll tell you this, I worry about them or I think about them
every day.
Me too.
Many prayers. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You take care. Let's go out to Hawaii. Oahu. Sean's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Sean. How are you?
Hey, George. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
It's exciting.
Sure thing.
So I just wanted to kind of address the people calling about the people being angry and lately and I guess what we would call hate
sure.
hateful attitudes.
You can't find hate on Hawaii. Everybody there is friendly.
You really shouldn't, but you'd believe otherwise. You know, I think it's kind of the island syndrome. But I lived in L.A. for a little while. Well, actually, quite a while. Almost several years, and it just seems like everybody's kind of pent up, and people are starting to feel alienated, I guess, is a good word for it.
Yeah, I mean, but, it's there.
Yeah, but, I'm of a younger generation, and someone called earlier, you know, relating to you and being in the slightly older generation, you know, maybe my fathers are a little older, but, I don't know, I've heard that my generation kind of feels, it seems, the older generation's take on us is that we feel entitled or something like that. And, I've heard it from one of my friends, and they kind of said in their response to that was, like, you know, entitled to what these days?
Well, I'm excited about you folks. I mean, I handing the gauntlet off to another generation to carry the torch for us is exciting. And I think young people, by and large, can do it, and they'll probably do a better job than our generation did.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to call it. I wanted to put a positive spin on it, you know, like, I agree, and it's kind of like my, you know, you probably heard this before, like, my father will always say this when he's listening to Black Sabbath and stuff when he's growing up. His parents couldn't stand it, you know, they couldn't stand the monkeys.
But you know what, if you listened to something like that today, he'd go crazy.
Right, he's saying the same thing to me.
Yep.
So
it goes around. People, we mellow when we get older. I don't know why.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, it's kind of like what the lady was saying earlier, take a chill pill, but I think it goes a little deeper than that. You know, I'm starting to notice a lot of my peers and stuff, we're getting into the socially conditioned thing where you know, with the MP3s and stuff, we have less patience, and the content that you were mentioning earlier, we pay less attention to the content.
Are you a Facebook person?
I'm on Facebook, but I was never big into it. It took me a little while to get into
it. But there's some people, Sean, on Facebook will put everything down. You know, I'm going here, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, or, you know, I just saw somebody trip on the sidewalk, or, I mean, everything is there. That's a little too much, don't you think?
Right, right. Well, I think it's a kind of a good thing, though. Like, you know, people are really, it kind of shows that people are really willing to relate. They want to, it sort of seems like a cry for help, almost, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and people.
Like a social thing.
And you know what, having that little group of friends, whether you got 50, 100, or 200 friends on Facebook, whatever it is, I think they think they're together as a group, and that makes them stronger, doesn't it?
Right, and that's kind of what I was getting to, is that social conditioning where we're starting to, my peers are starting to take on this cliquish attitude, and it's shutting the things out. And, you know, I'm big into music and stuff, and
What do you like? What's your favorite group?
Well, right now, I like quite a bit of things. I like Cream, up to Modest Mouse, you know, even to what's a good, like Jedi Mind Tricks and stuff is a rap group and stuff.
Who are they, Sean? I never heard of them.
So they're like a contemporary rap group and stuff, and you might actually dig them. You know, they're pretty they're socially mindful.
Oh, you know, we play all kinds of bumper songs on the show. When you hear something like Frank Sinatra, do you think that's cool?
Yeah, I love Frank Sinatra.
Well, see, that's good. That's, how old
one
are you?
One of my favorite guys is Bobby Darin.
Oh, I love him. I was just talking about him today.
Yeah.
You got to see the movie Beyond the Sea. Kevin.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Kevin Spacey.
Did a great job. How old are you?
Well, I'm going to be 26 soon. So
that's a great age. And you made the move to Hawaii. What made you go out there?
Well, actually, I was born and raised out here, and I moved to L.A. right when I was graduating, and I graduated out here from private school.
I've got friends on the Big Island. They love it.
Yeah, I heard you mention that before. Big Island's really nice, and you should check out this Legacy Tree thing. It's pretty cool. They got a whole coal farm thing going on there.
All right, great. But all right, Sean,
I just want to,
keep rolling.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling. That's young people. We got a future with them. Not to worry. We just got to get through this stuff. Let's go to John and Yorba Linda, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, John.
Hello, George. I just wanted to go along with those that are saying how wonderful it is to hear from you and your people, but you hear facts. You hear things that are necessary. I go back to a long time ago, 1960. There was a mudslide here in Southern California in Baldwin Hills.
From what, too much rain?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also there was a dirt reservoir. But anyway, this little boy was killed. And the police brought his father up to him just as they pulled him out of the mud, quite dead.
God.
And this reporter stuck a microphone in the father's face and said, "How do you feel about this, sir?"
Oh.
I'll tell you, I had a place I would like to have stuck that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'll tell you.
I don't blame you. Jeez.
That's the type of thing we're getting from these people in Boston, these so-called reporters. It's just, it's disgusting. I want to hear the facts.
Yeah.
Like I say. You know,
I mean, the one interview I saw on television tonight, which I liked, was the older guy who was in the marathon, and he got knocked over by the concussion of
the 78-year-old.
He rolled over. His legs got jittery. I mean, you can interview somebody like that because that's an interesting interview about what happened. How did you feel? What did you feel when this happened?
Oh, yeah.
But when somebody's in a
genuine thing. And
but someone's
it wasn't
in a tragedy.
Asking for, I don't know. But like I say, this business of asking people how they feel when they're being interviewed about someone who's died or what have you is just disgusting.
The world has become sound bites.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's all it is. I mean, it's just, let's get them on camera. Let's get their reaction. Let's see them cry. And that's all it is.
And I find that so disgusting. And it's becoming more and more and more prevalent.
Well, we'll do the best we can here.
I appreciate it.
We will. You know, the program is entertaining. But it's also, you know, hard hitting, and that's what we do. I mean, we've got to be a watchdog for people. So Case in point, I did get one critical email today because I switched the guest who was on to talk about Project Serpo, which was the alien and USA astronaut trading program, which would have been a fascinating, fun show. And we're going to do that next Monday, by the way. But tonight was not the night to do it. It was not. It would have been, I don't know, I don't want to use the word disrespectful, but it just wouldn't have been appropriate, I guess, tonight. And so all of you who understand, thank you. I appreciate that. And the one person who sent me the email and does not, maybe you will after you've heard the show in its total. There are some times you just can't, you just can't do it. I mean, even during the, during 9/11, when that tragedy happened back in 2001, regular programming on this show was stopped for a couple weeks. You just have to react to things that are so overwhelming. You can't forget it. You can't tuck it away. Adam is in West Hartford, Connecticut. And there
Hi.
You go. Hello, Adam.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, Adam. Thank you.
My gist is pretty much, seeing as the date being so close to Oklahoma City bombing, Waco, Texas, and such as, do you think it's domestic terrorism?
My gut is that this is a lone person, and it's domestic, and it's probably somebody who's ticked off about something, and he's taking it out on other people. That's my take. Obviously, no proof. I'm not part of the investigation, but I'm pretty darn intuitive about certain things. And I just think this person has an axe to grind, and he's not a happy person. He's a hater, a loner, and let's hope they catch him, you know, if he doesn't commit suicide by that time. Because sometimes these people do. They cop out that way. Let's go next to Palm Beach, Florida. Mark's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Norrie?
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna change your mind right now.
Okay.
And I don't see how you guys don't know it, but I'm gonna change your mind right now. You're thinking that it's somebody, a loner, some guy. But if you guys approach this like a forensic scientist, you would see it. It's right in your face. What is a marathon really all about? It's about the person that reaches to the finish line. When you look at it, what is more important? It's the number. The number. It's not some redneck guy that's afraid of his second rights, the Second Amendment being taken away. It's the number.
What do you mean the number?
409.
What's that mean?
Rewind it. When I looked at it, when I looked at the finish race, and when I looked at the line, I kept rewinding. I said, you know what?
Well, hold on. What does 409 mean?
409 is the number that the finish, the person that made it through, the first person.
The winner?
The last. Yeah, the winner, 409.
Okay.
And when I looked at it, I said, I got to look at the number. I'm looking for the symbols. 9 and 4 is 13. I kept rewinding it, I said, you know what? 4 and 9. And I seen 409.45.
Okay, but I still don't know what that means.
Well, it's the 13th number. It's the signature. It's the number that always followed. This year, 2013. You know the bloodline, let's say. The bloodline.
Yeah, but how did this person know that 409 was going to win? That's exactly the problem. Well, the clock's here. We got to turn for a quick break, but we'll come right back for more. On our next Coast to Coast program, Alex Jones joins us. We'll talk about everything from genetically modified foods to the Second Amendment to this tragedy in Boston and so much more on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're back with final open lines here on Coast to Coast, and let us go right back to the phones in Casa Grande, Arizona. First-time caller Tim's with us. Hey, good morning, Tim.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good. I am okay.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Good, thanks. What finally got you to call, Tim, after all these years?
Well, I was talking to somebody, a couple of friends of mine, about a month ago, and I was like, you know, they're big hunting people. They like to hunt. They love their guns.
Mm-hmm.
they love their guns almost as much as they love their kids. Seriously.
They sleep with their guns.
I live in Arkansas, and people back there, they're really close to their guns.
Yeah,
their
that's
ammo.
True. Yes, they are.
And when they see it being, like, you know, being, like, tested as far as gun rights and gun ownership and their ammo to be limited and stuff like that, I was telling a couple of friends of mine, and I was like, you know, this could really be a slippery slope, because these gun freaks, they could start doing stuff to prove that, hey, you can kill masses of people without guns.
Well, one of the emails I got earlier today suggested exactly that this could be, and I'm not going to call them a gun freak, you know, these are folks who just believe that, you know, the Second Amendment means they have their guns, but that one of them is a sick, crazy person, and we get them in all walks of life, and this person wanted to show and prove, hey, look, you can kill a lot of people and you don't need a gun.
Well, I don't really mean to call them gun freaks to put them down. My brother-in-law, I love very much, and I love him more than I love my regular brother, because we're that close.
Yeah.
He is a gun fanatic. And one time, I used to run team with this guy on a truck, and the friend of mine that I used to run team with, he got addicted to methamphetamine.
Oh, geez.
And he lost his job through a drug screen, and he had to, he started pawning everything he had. And everything that he had, one of the things that he pawned was a 25-06. Ruger with a nice Bushnell scope on it. And he gave me the pawn ticket because he knew that he wouldn't have the money to get it out. He said, will you get it out for me? Kind of, you know. And so I did. And I said, I'll hold it for you. And when you get working again and stuff, you know, I'll give it back to you for what I paid to get it out. He said, okay. And I got the thing at the pawn shop, and my nephew was with me. And he goes, oh, man, this is an awesome gun. And he goes, I'm going to go show my dad. His dad was up there lickety-split. He was wanting to buy that. He was acting about that gun. It was like a, you know, somebody, a proud father would from a baby
yeah.
who's coming from the hospital.
He had to have it, right?
I mean, you know, and he's a gun fanatic. And I'm just saying, I was talking to a friend of mine about 3 weeks to a month ago, and I said, you know, if they start putting a lot of strain and a lot of people start feel like their gun rights are being limited, or maybe even their guns.
This is just the first of it. But you got to add
what
this.
What can happen, you know, in a couple of months or a year from now, they're going to be taking all of our guns. People will go freak out.
Well, if they took the guns, people would freak out, Tim. But let's add to the fact that if this person was someone like that and whacked out from the get-go, they would do anything. See, I honestly believe 98% of the gun owners in this country are law-abiding good people.
Oh, I do too, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of them are just, they just like to hunt and stuff, you know, but they
love
it.
Yeah, and they want protection, and they, you know, they, look, you know, I'm still convinced this country has not been attacked because they know every person is a soldier in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, you know, a lot of the people that own guns, you know, they're law-abiding citizens. And, you know, like they say, like, you know, most of the gun crimes and stuff like that are in states where they've got really strict gun laws.
You got that right. Well, anyways, Tim, thanks for the call. We've got a whole bunch of folks online, except we have a text from Tom back in the old studio.
George from Sandy in Ohio. George, I'm a decent person, love this country, and don't hate. But when I think of who would do such a thing like what happened today, I just want them dead. I hate thinking I'm evil, but isn't that a natural thought?
Yeah, of course it's a natural thought. If you believe in capital punishment, the death penalty, this person, whoever it may be, if he gets convicted or whoever it may be, I have no problems with that.
I don't think she should have any guilt.
No.
At all. No.
No. There's some people, of course. Look, this is what I think about the death penalty. As you know, we don't talk about that on this program. We don't talk about abortion or any of that. But I will say this about the death penalty. I'm sure there have been people killed on death row or who are on death row who were not guilty. But if you're going to put someone on death row I think we need bonafiable DNA evidence to erase anything beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
They were the ones involved in that. Let them get convicted and everything else, but if you're going to put them to death, you have to have DNA evidence to prove it. If you don't have that, then they just get life in prison.
It's a tough thing.
Now, that way, at least it minimizes the potential that you're killing some innocent person. How'd you like to be in jail for 30 years and you never did the crime?
There's been cases.
Exactly. How about the guy who was in jail for, I don't know, 25 years? The next couple days after he was released, he had a massive heart attack. He was that stressed.
He's just gone.
Anyways, that's it. See ya. Let's go next to Robin in Oakland, California. Hello, Robin.
Oh, George, it's always such a joy to talk to you.
Well, the comforting voice in the night.
You are so pleasant, and are you losing weight?
I have been working out like a banshee. I'm down to 179 pounds, and I feel great.
I'm telling you, it shows.
What do you mean? Where'd you see me lose weight?
On
the Beyond Belief TV show?
TV thing.
Ah, good eye.
You know, yeah. So, wheat woo.
Was I a little...
Anyway, was you're I hard.
A little chubby before?
I'm sorry?
Was I a little chubby before?
No, I mean, you've always been good looking, but, you know, now you're getting buff.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know,
maybe I'll get the 6-pack abs. Is that what they call them, Danny? 6-pack abs? All right. Maybe I'll get that. You never know.
How about just a 6-pack?
what's your favorite? We'll go split it. I would guess you're probably a Budweiser girl.
Actually, no. But in the day when that was a choice, it was definitely a Chardonnay.
Ah, yes. Nothing
you know,
a little wine. But, well, I'm a Merlot person myself.
Yes.
Good for the heart.
You know, and Australian, too. They have a very fine wines coming
out.
Yeah,
they do.
Australia. If,
well, you're up there near wine country, aren't you, in Oakland? Just go south a little bit, and there it is.
Sure, yeah, there's all that kind of stuff. So come on up.
I just may surprise you.
And enjoy it, absolutely. It would be a shock.
how old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the reverse of 36.
You're 60?
I'm the same age as you are.
Oh, are you rich? You have a lot of money?
Oh. I wish.
Yeah. Well, that's not
you know, this is what happens when you end up taking care of everybody.
You
end up being the midwife to the next life.
I know that.
And speaking of which, that's what I wanted to comment about with what happened today. And at what point in time... see, unfortunately, back when I should have been in politics, I had actually inhaled, and that made a big...
That's where you made your mistake.
That's where I made my mistake, you know? And now, of course, that doesn't matter at all. And having cared for so many people... with HIV and going out and trying to, you know, stop with the nausea and all the rest of that.
It helps. It does help people, doesn't it?
Indeed. And Oakland is one of the real leaders in medical marijuana. And Mother Nature does know what she's doing. I mean, I don't know if you recall the big hoo-ha about Ma Huang, the tea.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know that you, are you aware of the fact that the FDA did re-legalize that.
I didn't know that.
Yes, indeed. And that has been used for over 4,000 years. It's known as Popatillo tea. It's known as Mormon tea.
See, everything that works that is inexpensive, the FDA doesn't like. You know why? Because the big pharmaceutical companies can't make money on it.
Of course. Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, Mama Nature knows what she's doing. So, you know, when you look at your package of allergy pills, what's the active ingredient? Not ephedrine, you know, California ephedra or mahuang, which is the same thing in China, but pseudoephedra or pseudoephedrine.
Well, that's right, which is all natural. Hey, Robin, I got to take a couple more calls. We're almost out of time. By the way, for my schedule for the next month and a half, just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, click hosts, open up my calendar. I am going to be in Columbus, Ohio, first time ever with an event. Come out and see me. Then I'm going to be in Vancouver, Canada. And then I'm going to be in Chicago, Illinois. Then I'm going to be in Toronto. And gosh, I'm going to be all over the place this year. So definitely in these areas. I'm going to be in Cleveland. So come on out and see me. Let's take a few more calls here. Robin, thanks for your call. Let us go next to Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm going to be. Jeff, welcome to the show. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, George. When are you going to be in Cleveland?
I think I'm in Cleveland in September. Pretty sure.
Wow.
Pretty sure.
I'm going to have to keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah, we'll
I'm going to fly through this really quickly because I know you're running out of time. First of all, we've got the Red Sox in town for the next 3 days, and they couldn't even get out of Logan because it was shut down. They got here real late.
The game went on today, too, didn't it?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
No.
It did not.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday game.
Okay.
But they played. They played in Boston at 11 o'clock
today.
Was the start time? So it was before or right around the time I think that the marathon was getting ready.
I see. Okay, the game was over before.
Hey, as far as the hate thing is concerned, we haven't seen this kind of hatred since the early days of the civil rights movement. And a lot of it, I think, has to do, it goes back to 2008 when a certain radio personality, and I use that term very loosely, started throwing words around about a certain president. And the Ku Klux Klan has like quadrupled its membership ever since then, partly as a result of that. He's also the same person that keeps on floating this rumor that the government is going to take people's guns away, which is a bunch of garbage. People who are law-abiding citizens should have absolutely no qualms whatsoever about passing a background check. And
I'm a gun owner. Have no problems with background checks. I've got nothing to hide.
It is not an infringement on anybody's Second Amendment rights to do a background check.
No, not at all.
Stopping somebody from getting a gun.
No, not at all.
And these people that keep on saying that it is really make me angry. And the last thing that I'm going to say is about mainstream media, because people have been coming down on them too. Diane Sawyer tonight and on Nightline both had very good reporting. They talked to doctors. They talked to people that were there and asked them what they saw, not what they felt. And NBC ran an hour-long special with Brian Williams at 10 o'clock tonight, and he did the same thing. They talked to doctors at Boston Mass.
But these are old-time pros.
Hospital.
That's the thing,
and
though.
And that's the same thing they did.
Jeff,
that's what they should be doing, and you do that, and that's why I keep listening to you. And one of these days you're going to have a lousy program so I can go to sleep on it.
I hope not. See you later, Jeff. Don't forget, I'll be in Cleveland, I think, in September. So make sure you're out there. A couple more minutes to go. Let's take another call. John's in Boston. I want to take this call. Hey, John, how are things going out there?
Thank you, George. Yeah, the reason these things happen is apathy. We Americans are so comfortable in our little selfish little world that the outside concerns don't matter to us, and it takes an act of violence to shake us out of our comfort zone. What do you think?
For a week or two, and then people forget, and they go back to their own ways.
You know, right up the street from Boston, there's a state of Maine. They all know Stephen King killed John Lennon, but they don't care.
Now, that's you again. Unbelievable how he gets through. Unbelievable. Let's go to Hutchison, Kansas. Jeff, you're with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, George. Thank you for changing
sure
the
thing,
programming
Jeff.
Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
When I turned the TV on today, and I expected to hear something about North Korea shooting off another missile, and then the thing in Boston had just happened, and I thought, why wouldn't, I'm going to call the person a bomber, if they wanted to hurt more people, why wouldn't they be at the start of the race or at the very time that the first winner got to the finish line? Then I got to thinking, well, maybe they got caught in a big crowd and they didn't get their object.
Or he couldn't drop it off at that time. Who knows?
Well, yeah, that time. Then I got to thinking, well, what if this is a single person that wanted to kill somebody in the race? That if you were my dad and I was mad at you and I wanted some money and you had a lot of money and I thought, boy, he's running the race today, and if it gets hurt in this thing by a terrorist, then it can't be my fault. And maybe I get to inherit the money early.
Well, let me tell you something. Any possibility at this point is possible. Any possibility. And maybe one day they'll find out. The last I heard, they're searching some apartment in a Boston suburb. We'll see what happens on that. It's a story we'll talk about again with Alex Jones on our next Coast to Coast show. Thank all of you for sticking around with us tonight during this very trying time. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.